Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 2nd of September. I'm Paul White and happy Labor Day to all my American audience, many of whom are off of work today. You're celebrating labor by not laboring. That's okay. That's good. And not everybody gets today off, but if you do, congratulations and enjoy it. If you do work on Labor Day, let's rejoice that we have labors to do, I expect. If you're laboring for the Lord, believing for favor because you've been doing so well, then I would say it's time for you to take a vacation from laboring for the Lord for favor, a permanent vacation, because the labor that you ought to be doing, according to the book of Hebrews, is laboring to enter into rest. And that doesn't mean work hard now so you can rest in heaven. It means pick up the inevitable burden of that it's going to take, because it's going to take it, the inevitable burden that will follow you in Christianity, that burden of always thinking you need to do something won't just follow you in Christianity. It's the basic elementary principle of the world. And you're going to have to labor against that, that you always need to be doing. Instead, realize it's done, and rest in who He is. Out of that will come the labor of, that's good labor, the labor of love, that which is both inspired of the Holy Spirit and will touch the world. 1 Corinthians 7:17, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. That word ordain is direct. It's Paul's instruction. Was anyone called? Now, 18 helps qualify it, so let's put it together. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. The first command seems pretty simple. If you were uncircumcised when you became a believer, that would mean you're a Gentile. Paul says, don't become circumcised. Well, you don't need to do that. But how do you do the second one? If you're uncircumcised when you become a believer or when you're called, let him not be circumcised. How do you go backwards? If you're already circumcised, how would you be uncircumcised? There was actually a surgical operation in that era in which young Jewish men would undergo the procedure to conceal their circumcision. They did this in order to progress in a Gentile world. You go, well, how would people know? I mean, we're a much more covered society, by the way. Literally in the gymnasium of Greece, gymnastics occurred naked. Men didn't wear anything in front of other men. And so some young Jewish men were undergoing procedures to try to hide their circumcision. I know that's more information than many of you wanted, but sometimes it's what happens when you study the context of these scriptures. So Paul is basically speaking to both the Gentile and the Jew who have become believers in Christ. He calls it when they're called. That's us being called into Christ. When that happens, he says, if you're not circumcised, meaning you're born a Gentile, don't get circumcised so that you can somehow believe you're underneath some level of favor you would not have been otherwise. And if you are circumcised, don't undergo some sort of procedure to hide that, to try to get ahead in the Gentile world. Be what you are. Just be what you are. Let the Holy Spirit be your definition. Let Him make that, let Him be the face that you put out in front of the world. And then Paul says in 19, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. The phrase "is what matters" is added by the translators. The text really says, closer in the Greek, circumcision's nothing, uncircumcision's nothing, but keeping the commandments of God. And so I don't think "is what matters" is Paul's emphasis, because he doesn't say that. But the point he's making is it doesn't make a difference in whether one is uncircumcised or whether one is circumcised. That's not the central issue. It's obedience to God that is the central issue. Now, what happens, I think, in grace circles is we read a verse like verse 19 and look at keeping the commandments as Paul reiterating a return to the law. If, I'm going to put a all caps if here, if he is, he has a change of heart in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. That's all I know, because in 2 Corinthians 3, he calls that which is written engraved on stones the ministry of death, the ministry of condemnation, and talks about how we've been released from the veil of the law, and that veil's there when we read Moses, but when we come to Christ, it's gone. So he either does mean you got to keep the commandments and then changes his mind in 2 Corinthians, or, and this is what I believe, I don't think he changes his mind. I don't even think it's a further revelation as much as... Well, I wouldn't say he doesn't have a further revelation. Who doesn't? We're always having further revelation, or I hope we are. But I think what Paul, the emphasis Paul puts on obeying God is different than what we hits our ear. We hear, keep his commandments, we think Ten Commandments. Yet, the early church is operating on a Jesus command. Jesus said, you've heard it said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I say to you, love one another the way I've loved you. And the church is fueled in the first century by the command to love the world. Paul would write to the Romans and say, in fact, let me go over there. I'm going to show you that text. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything except to love one another. He who loves another has fulfilled the law. Look at that. You've fulfilled the law. Obedience to the law would be what? Loving one another. Because the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, they're all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So how do you obey the law as a believer? How do you obey the law as a Jew? Well, you obey the law. How do you obey the law as a believer in Christ? You love people. Now, that doesn't mean that you have no moral code, but your moral code is not that which is written and engraved on stones. Your moral code is the sound of the Holy Spirit. Or as I've said many times, the Holy Spirit is to the new covenant what the law was to the old covenant, keeping that in mind. All right, we'll move forward tomorrow into verse 21. I'll see you then. God bless.